Greetings, fellow language lovers. This is the Language Mastery Podcast. I'm your host, John Fotheringham. In today's show, I chat with Keith Brooks, the man behind Pardon My Norwegian, a site dedicated to everything cool from Norway from the eyes of a Kentuckian. Prior to marrying the Norwegian language, Keith sampled a number of potential languages in a project called 37 Languages. His speed dating or taste testing approach to choosing just the right significant linguistic other got picked up by PRI's The World in 2009. And Keith was asked back again in 2010 to report on which language he finally chose to settle down with. In our interview, Keith shares his favorite tips and tools for learning Norwegian online. He confirms that contrary to what many expect, it is indeed possible to learn Norwegian even in Louisville, Kentucky. And he compares Norwegian with other Scandinavian tongues. All right, let's go chat with Keith.
So thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me.
I first heard about you, gosh, it would have been maybe 4 or 5 years ago now when you, I think you just started your 37 Languages blog.
Yes.
About then, 2008, I think it was, December.
Yes.
So maybe tell us a little bit about that experiment, as you called it, you know, what led to it, why you decided to, I think some people have called it speed date, different languages, mm-hmm. or I think you called it taste testing.
Yes.
So let us know a little bit more about that project.
Okay. Well, Norwegian was actually the inspiration behind the blog. I had read somewhere online that Norwegian was the easiest language for English speakers to learn. And I was kind of intrigued by that concept, and I wanted to see if it was true. So I did just a little reading about Norwegian, not as much as I've done now since studying it, but I looked it up and then I was still curious. So I decided to find a bunch of languages, and including some that I had never tried to learn before. And I selected them, and then I crafted this system of speed dating them, or as you mentioned, taste testing them, where I would look at them for a couple of days. I would learn about the history of the language, the orthography, the region it was spoken in, and any other little nuances about the language, and then move on to the next one. And that lasted about, I would say, 7 months. And then after that, I selected six to look at more closely for a week. Those six were Norwegian, of course, but Swedish, Croatian, Albanian, Portuguese, and Turkish were the other five.
Yeah, so not the usual suspects, definitely, for most folks.
Yes. Yeah, and that was another reason why the languages were so diverse. Growing up, I had always had an interest in languages. I tried to learn Japanese in high school, and I was proficient in Spanish from a young age. And I had tried to learn others, but I think by doing this project, it had reactivated that interest. And there were other languages that I had seen or read about, but I had never tried to study or learn. So it was kind of an opportunity to research those as well.
You said you were into languages growing up. Was there any particular influence in your life that led to that?
Yeah, I think I can't really pinpoint an exact experience that caused me to be interested in languages. I think growing up, I lived in a diverse neighborhood where there were people that spoke Vietnamese and Spanish and Hindi. And I think maybe that might have imprinted an early interest, but I've always been attracted to just learning about other cultures and learning how people communicate in different ways. So that, I think that's something I've always had an affinity for.
Yeah, I think I have a similar experience. I didn't even realize it, you know, when I got into languages in college, it just seemed mm-hmm. very natural, but that interest had always been there. And it's hard to pin down, I think, for most mm-hmm. of the folks I've talked to, where that began. It wasn't a culminating event necessarily. It's usually something more organic in the background.
Exactly.
Very cool. So you dated these languages, and then you shortlisted, you said six, and then, well, we now know, because we're in the future, so we know you chose Norwegian as the winner. What were the criteria that you used to choose the different languages, first for the shortlist, and then finally for Norwegian?
Okay, for the languages that I selected, initially I used four factors: intelligibility, complexity, resonance, which is how, I guess, discordant or harmonious I felt with a language, and also continuation, which was whether or not I was willing to continue learning it in the future, or if I just had no interest after speed dating it. And then after I reached part two, I kind of used a similar set of qualifiers. And again, I used intelligibility. I used complexity. And then I just focused on, I guess, my own progress in the language that I selected from the top six. And I tried using it with native speakers if possible. So I kind of looked at those factors, and eventually I came to a decision on a couple that really stood out to me. Turkish was actually one of those that I really, really was fascinated by. It's such a unique language because it isn't as common as, of course, Spanish or Chinese. It's not Indo-European. It's a glance native language. It also has an interesting feature of vowel harmony, and I just thought it was really beautiful. So it was it's a very difficult decision. With Norwegian, again, I think there was something about it that seemed really familiar to me. It's a Northern Germanic language, so it's in the Germanic family with English, and has a lot of similar vocabulary.
And a few false friends I saw on your resources page about a couple, like Barn, is that?
Yeah, Barn.
Children,
yeah.
Barn. Exactly. That's a very unfortunate false friend.
Yeah.
and you said it's, to a high degree, it's mutually intelligible with Swedish and
Danish.
Yes. So now that you've gone this far into Norwegian, have you had any chances to speak with Swedes or Danes? Or
yeah, since I've become, I guess I've reached a certain level of fluency in Norwegian, I've been able to communicate with Swedish people. In Louisville, I started a community of folks that were either from Scandinavia or had been learning Scandinavian languages, and I met some Swedish and Danish people through that way. And I also have a very close friend that is from Stockholm, actually Luleå, but she lives in Stockholm now. And I speak to her in Norwegian, and she speaks to me in Swedish, and it's an issue.
That's funny. Yeah. So I guess that's another advantage of choosing Norwegian, is that it's not just one language. It's really a foot in the door of many. So
yeah. It's cool. Like a Scandinavian continuum. So
yeah.
It's one of the factors I considered when I selected it.
And then I would guess, just from what I know of like Spanish and Italian and Portuguese, that if you see it written down, it's even that much easier to guess. Yeah. So maybe if you hear something, you might not recognize it, but if you see it written, it looks very close to Norwegian,
yes.
Or do they spell differently significantly? I have no idea. I'm just...
No worries. But with Norwegian and Danish, they use the same alphabet. And Norwegian is kind of derived from Danish. Norway used to belong to Denmark, and they share similar histories. But Swedish uses a different alphabet, and a lot of the words are spelled differently, but they sound very similar. And Swedish, in my opinion, is kind of easier to understand than Danish, because Danish has a very guttural quality. There's this thing called the stid, where it kind of changes the, tone of words. I think if I were to, explain it to someone that has never learned any Scandinavian language. Danish sounds like Swedish, but is written like Norwegian. Swedish sounds like Norwegian, but is, I guess, kind of closer to Danish. And then Norwegian is, in my opinion, the best one of them all. Yeah, but all right.
So we just alienated two countries at once. That's okay. Norway will protect us.
Yeah.
That's cool. We'll have that'll be a good quote for the show notes there, I think. So you mentioned Turkish as one of the runner-ups for this. Again, I don't know anything about Turkish either from experience, but I remember in linguistics learning that it's Altaic language, is that correct? Which actually shares some interesting grammatical patterns with Japanese. So I thought, you know, at some point that might be fun as a next language to have a head start, at least getting my head wrapped around the language to try Turkish. So that's good to know.
Yeah.
Is that something you think you're going to learn at some point down the road, or?
Yeah, I considered learning Turkish when I was studying Norwegian in the, I guess, earlier parts of when I selected the language. And I did it for about a couple of months, but I decided to just continue focusing on Norwegian and increasing my level of fluency. But I think after I'm done, after I feel I've reached a point where I've just acclimated the highest I can get with Norwegian, I think I will either consider learning Turkish, but I also found a lot of interest in learning Estonian, actually. Mm. And that's it's in the same, I think it's Finno-Ugric, but it's sort of distantly related to Turkish, I think. Mm. So, yeah, it's another uncommon language, of course, but.
So you're attracted to the unordinary,
yes,
the unique ones. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So how long have you then been at Norwegian to this point, and where do you think you're at in terms of oral fluency, literacy, or mm-hmm. are you not worried about reading, just focus on speaking at this point?
Okay. As of right now, I feel really comfortable with the language. I've been learning it since May 2010, so it's been over 3 years. I feel like right now I am at the B2 level when referring to the European Common Framework of Language Fluency. I think that's the system that they use for European, Indo-European languages. But that is intermediate advanced. Mm-hmm. So I feel very comfortable reading Norwegian, writing it, speaking, and I have no issues. When I was in Norway, I used it about 65-70% of the time. I think the biggest challenge I have right now is understanding it without minor errors. I can understand pretty much most of the words that are in a sentence when someone is speaking. But every now and then I make mistakes with understanding a few words, specifically because Norwegian has a lot of dialects. Mm. It varies from county and city. But I think for the most part, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at about 8.5 with Norwegian.
Very cool. In 3 years. And then this actually leads to, I think, one of the really important questions I wanted to ask you, which is a lot of people out there say, you know, there's no way to learn a language unless you move to the country where it's spoken. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's awesome. That would be a great advantage if you could, but not everyone can do that. And you've managed to learn Norwegian, not just outside of Norway, but in a part of the world, in a part of the United States, where I don't think it's exactly known for being a hotspot for Nordic languages. Yeah. unless I don't know about the underside of Louisville or something, and there's more to it than I know. But yeah. So how is it that you managed to learn the language then contrary to expectations, where you happen to live.
Yeah. I would say the most important thing, the thing that I wish, I guess I had realized earlier, is that you really have to dedicate yourself to the language. It does take time, but you have to dedicate yourself to the language every day, whether or not it's reading a news article online or listening to a podcast for a couple of hours. You have to do it every day. Otherwise, your progress will just kind of plateau. Another thing that's really important that I did when I started learning Norwegian was immersing it in my life in as many ways as possible. For example, I changed my computer and email settings, and Facebook settings to Norwegian. The phone on my keyboard is in Norwegian. I restricted watching American television, and I just tried to eliminate any way in which English was a heavy influence in my life. I stopped reading novels and tried to read things online in Norwegian as much as possible. So I would say dedication, and then finding ways to immerse it in your daily life as much as possible is really critical. I also practice speaking it sometimes to myself in my car, or repeating exercises that I'd listened to from a book I use called Teach Yourself Norwegian. Mm-hmm. Saying them out loud, that's really important, especially when you're hearing the phrase, say it immediately after hearing it, so you'll know that it's correct, and then you'll memorize it when you say it yourself, and then repeat it the next time. So I would say that those things really were critical, and then just having the confidence to use it. I was really nervous around, I guess, the first year, I guess a year and a half after I had kind of became accustomed to it, but I was still really, really shy about using it. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, forget it. Even if I make mistakes, I'm just going to, you know, speak it. And I think that being willing to embarrass yourself, or being willing to just make mistakes is kind of something that you have to just get over if you're learning a new language. And then another thing that really helped was just having friends who would correct me, or friends that I could practice using the language with, whether it was through online communities or people that I met in Norway. That really helped a lot.
Do you spend a lot of time on Skype talking with them, or?
Yes.
Before and then still now?
Yes. Yeah. And even now, I would say that since going to Norway, it's kind of, actually when I was in Norway, what's the best way to explain it? I was kind of a little surprised at how much easier it was to use the language when I was initially worried about making a mistake. When I was at the airport, for example, I just started using it, and then the attendants, they didn't resort to English or any, didn't resort to English. They just immediately started using Norwegian. So I think if one does have the ability to go abroad after learning the language for a certain amount of time and use it with native speakers, it definitely really just reinforces all of the things that you learn, and it definitely removes any lingering discomfort, right, or embarrassment of using it.
It creates that positive feedback loop that you want to keep going, yes, back for more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting because all those things that you've just mentioned, which I agree with 100%, they also apply even if you're living in the country, as we all know, because,
yeah,
it's all too easy to isolate yourself, as I saw in Japan and in Taiwan, in a little foreigner bubble, you know, and you watch American sports at a local foreigner bar, and you actually never or hardly ever speak the local language. Mm-hmm. It's quite unfortunate that that tends to be the case. But yeah, those same tips apply really wherever you're living, I guess. But the cool thing being, of course, that you can learn Norwegian in Kentucky, and you can learn Japanese in Kansas, and you can learn, you know, Mandarin in Iowa. Like, this is all very possible.
Indeed.
Thank you, Skype. Thank you, podcast. Thank you, YouTube.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lang 8. Thank you, Rhino Spike. You have, I saw on your site there's quite a few resources that you recommend. You mentioned already Teach Yourself Norwegian. Is there like maybe a top five list you could share of resources or online tools that you recommend? What's made the biggest difference for you?
Yeah, for learning Norwegian. There is a website that's listed on my blog that's called Stein by Stein, which means stone by stone. They offer free courses to people that are just learning Norwegian. There's also another website that's listed called På vei, which means on the way. Again, they offer free online courses. I would also recommend a series of YouTube videos by a Norwegian young woman. Her name is, I can't ever say it correctly. It's not Norwegian, but it's Krienexi. And she is from the, I think, eastern part of Oslo. But she has developed, I would say, over hundreds of videos that teach people about Norwegian language. And she also uses dual English and Norwegian subtitles. So you can see her actually speaking the language and then knowing the words that she's saying. So that was really helpful for me in the beginning. I would also recommend, I think there's a link to an online Bokmål and Nynorsk dictionary that was really helpful and is still helpful for a lot of the words I look up that I don't know immediately. And then I think another website that really helped is called Klartale. It means clear voice, but it's an easy to read online newspaper from Norway. And they also develop weekly podcasts. And you can also listen to the articles online by selecting one of the functions located at the top of the website. So that's really helpful for those that are new to learning Norwegian.
The last podcast you mentioned, do they have transcripts for the episodes or just the audio?
There's only audio for the weekly podcast, but with the articles on the website, you can read those as you're listening to the audio function when you select it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see. You mentioned the YouTube channel that has dual English and then Norwegian subtitles. What's your thought on subtitles? Is this something that, you know, in the beginning, do you prefer listening Norwegian and reading English subtitles or watching Norwegian with Norwegian subtitles or no subtitles, or does it depend on where you're at? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, in the beginning, I would say the first 6 months, I really, really needed the English subtitles. But after that, it was kind of, I don't want to see the English subtitles anymore. I just want to see the Norwegian ones because I wanted to know what the words were. And once, you know, I just started resorting to watching programs that had options to select closed captioning in Norwegian, it was a lot easier for me to pick up on the language. So I, again, tried to restrict using English as much as possible and just focus on Norwegian.
Do you know if there's any kind of Hulu type service that has Norwegian programming?
Actually, if you visit Norway's state broadcaster, NRK, you can go to the website and there's a list of programs that are available for people that live outside of the country. It's actually, I think the link is nrk.no/Utland, which is spelled UTLAND. And that you can find a link, I think, through that page or just on the website in general to programs that are available for people that live outside of Norway. And again, they have the option for most of the programs to select closed captioning in Norwegian.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And some of them also come with transcripts.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Man. People learning languages now are very lucky.
Yeah, Norway makes it really accessible for people.
And all this for, what is it, 5 million people, native speakers?
Yeah.
it's quite impressive. Yeah, whenever I look at stuff now or review new products for the blog, I'm always thinking, man, I started languages 10 years too early. Should have waited. No, I'm glad I got in when I got in, but I don't miss carrying around my, 20-pound kanji dictionary in my backpack. And and my $400 electronic dictionary that now I have an app on my iPhone that's better for free. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let's see. We're coming up on time here, but I wanted to hear about your trip in more detail. I don't want to turn you into a free travel agent, but maybe if you could just give us kind of the highlights of what you loved, what you wanted to see and couldn't see, any challenges you might have had and how you overcame them, just whatever you want to share.
Okay. Well, this was my second time in Norway. I had went in May 2010, right after I selected Norwegian to study. So the first time I went, I wasn't able to use the language as much. I could only say hi and volangola. But this time it was kind of more of an adventure. I went to Oslo, which I had been to before, but I also went to two other cities. I went to Bergen, which is on the west coast, and then I flew to Trondheim. And I really don't know how to just describe how amazing Norway's landscape is. It's just so phenomenal. It's so accessible. Mm-hmm. I took a train ride from Oslo to Bergen. It's called the Bergensbanen, or just the Bergen line. And it starts off being really, I guess, unimpressive. You just see a lot of houses and then lots of trees. But then the altitude becomes a lot higher, and then it rolls into hills and then mountains and then just unbelievable views of the country. And I was just blown away by what I was seeing just from my passenger window.
Like Lord of the Rings type stuff? I mean, is that a good mental image? Yeah.
Actually, one of the stops, Finse, it's a really mountainous stop along the route. And that actually was a place where Star Wars was filmed.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, again, that was one aspect I really just appreciated about Norway, just how beautiful the country is. And I think another thing that I really enjoyed was, apart from using the language, just being able to speak with Norwegians. They have this reputation for being cold and reserved, but when I used Norwegian with them, that was not the case at all. It was complete opposite.
Yeah.
And then I think just being in the country, being with people I knew, and it just reminded me of, I guess, the reasons I had always liked Scandinavian culture and just Norway. Just a really relaxed, non-occupied mindset, mm-hmm. Attention to self-care and family, really relaxed. Really laid back. Unfortunately, it's a very expensive country for tourists.
That was what I was going to ask next. Yeah.
Yeah. I managed to stay within my budget. What I did was I stayed in hostels and I stayed with friends, and I couch surfed with a person in Bergen, and that saved me money on accommodation. But another thing I also did was I self-catered, which means I went to grocery stores or just cooked dinner myself instead of eating out. Mm-hmm. Because for an American person, getting a, I guess, a pint of beer is around $11. Wow. And just eating a regular meal costs around $23. I think McDonald's, it's like $15 for like a happy, for like a Big Mac and fries and just a regular meal. But thankfully, I was just able to stay with people I knew. And I also bought all the travel tickets and, you know, the train ride and the flight tickets in advance. That would save you a lot of money.
In advance from the States or?
Yes, from the United States.
Okay.
So that helped save a lot on travel just throughout the country. And then also I walked around a lot when I was in Oslo. I tried to avoid taking the bus. It's a very walkable city. Actually, I would say both Bergen and Oslo are very walkable cities. They do have amazing transport systems, but I walked around a lot. And apart from saving money, I noticed that a lot of Norwegians, they don't really rely on cars as much as Americans. They either walk or they use their bicycles. So that was something I really adopted, and I think I'll try to do more here in the United States. And again, that's sort of lifestyle thing I really appreciated. Norwegians are also more outdoorsy in general, I think. And again, the nature is just so accessible and just there. You can't help but to kind of be absorbed into it. But Oslo is, you know, I think out of all the cities I went to, Oslo feels like home to me now. I could definitely see myself living there in the future.
Is that a real possibility? I mean, is that something you're aiming toward, or is it just a hope?
It's something I would like to, it's something I'm planning on trying to do. I don't have concrete plans, but I'm hoping to study there in 2014 and possibly for a longer period of time in 2015, or find, you know, a job there. But, you know, nothing's set in stone. But I would just love to, you know, live there for a while and kind of explore life from that side of the hemisphere.
Well, I will see you there.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Yeah, I'm on the way to the airport, I think. just need to come up with a few grand. I don't know. Figure it out. Climb my way out of debt first. Well, awesome, Keith. I really appreciate this. I'm intrigued, and I'm definitely going to move Norwegian up a few pegs on my list, I think.
Okay.
Now,
good.
It was near the top. Now I think it might be the top. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And if I ever pass through your part of the country, or see you in Oslo, maybe.
Yeah. Tusen takk, og jeg setter pris på intervjuet, og forhåpentlig vi skal snakke I fremtiden. I just said thank you a lot for the interview, and hopefully we can speak in the future.
Tell me the thank you part. That I just need to know one word before we go.
Tusen takk.
Tusen takk.
Tusen takk. That means it means thank you very much.
All right, I've started. I've got one down.
Good job.
just 10,000 to go. All right. Thanks much.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
You too.
For more tips, tools, and tech about learning any foreign language, go to languagemastery.com. And if you enjoyed this show, please consider rating the podcast in iTunes. Talk to you next time.